Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you the spiritual world with Maria D'Andrea. Our guest tonight is Jim Cullum. He's a certified professional consulting hypnotist. Greetings and welcome, Maria. How are you tonight?
Hi. I am so excited to have Jim today. You know, I've known Jim for over 25 years now. And
awesome.
we both belong to the AAAH membership, which is kind of like the equivalent of the medical groups, you know, except for hypnotists. And when I tell you, I love him because he's like the expert that other experts should go to.
Well,
how are you doing, Jim?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
Listen, it's such a pleasure. And, you know, just because I tell people you walk on water, I'm allowed to do that.
Thank you.
But, you know, but like I said, I've known you for, what, at least over 25 years. And I really tell people you're the expert of the experts. You know, only because, not because you're my friend, because that's not the same thing, but because, you know, you truly are. And, you know, because we were both members of the same organization, I can honestly tell people that they're not going to find anybody as good as you. And, you know, I meant to ask you, your introduction reads that you're a certified professional consulting hypnotist. For those who are new at this, would you be able to explain what that means?
Certainly. Well, I'm a professional hypnotist. I do not do stage work. It's a thought, but don't have the time, really. I'm a professional hypnotist. I consult in the medical field. I have doctors call me for certain cases or situations they would like me to work with. And I've been certified by several different professional associations.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I know that there's so many people that you've really helped along the way that I'm aware of, not to mention all the ones that you've done through the years and years and years to be able to help people. Now, have you worked in any other fields other than hypnosis?
Well, besides being a professional consulting hypnotist, which I've been for 38 years, I was a nurse for 43 years.
Oh, so that must have been interesting. There must be a really good connection there between the two fields.
Well, it gave me a lot of medical background and knowledge that helped me when I was working with patients for medical reasons.
Oh, so is that how you came? You became interested in hypnosis, or was there a different way you became interested?
Well, it was really interesting. Way back, I was a nurse for about 5 years. And I became friends with another nurse that I worked with. We became very good friends. And after a few months, she asked me if I would like to take a course with her in self-hypnosis. And I honestly had no interest at the time. And she begged me, please. She didn't want to go by herself. She was afraid to go to this course by herself. And she would call me, and she would call my wife and say, tell him to take this course with me. She really hounded me for a few weeks, and finally I just gave up. I figured I might as well take the course and then get her off my back. And I wound up taking this course, and I actually fell in love with it. I was very surprised at the things that we learned how to do in this particular course.
Oh, that's really great, though. It's funny how the universe puts us where we're supposed to be, sometimes whether we want to be there or not.
Well,
I always think the universe plays with us.
To finish that story, it really is funny because, you know, they tell you people come into your life for either a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And she came into my life very fast as a colleague. I took this course, and actually she dropped out. She dropped out before it even started. She developed the flu and couldn't take it. And I took it anyway because I didn't want to, you know, lose my money. So I took the course anyway. And a few months later, her and her boyfriend moved out of state, and I never heard from her again. So it seems that the universe put her in my life to take this course.
You know, I would think so, because you're absolutely phenomenal in our field. And what I love when you work with people is that it's not something you just do. It's something where you genuinely love what you do, but you really care about the people that you're helping. And that makes a big difference between just knowing technique and actually wanting to help. And that's a tremendous difference. And, you know, come to think of it, some people are new to hearing about hypnosis. So can you explain exactly what hypnosis is for people?
Sure. The simple two-word definition of hypnosis is focused concentration. When you focus all your attention on one thought or one idea and you block out all the distraction, you're in a state of hypnosis. And it's funny because we do that several, sometimes dozens of times every day. We're just not aware that we're actually in that state of hypnosis. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You
Great.
Drive a car. You drive a car, yes? You're
right.
driving
yeah.
in your car, and you're going to a familiar destination. And your mind's
right.
on a thought. Maybe what you're having for dinner that night when you go home, or you're taking a trip on the weekend. You're thinking about the trip, and you arrive at your destination, and you say, wow, I don't remember driving the last half a mile. The car got me on automatic pilot. That's actually highway hypnosis.
Everybody said that.
Yeah, we call that highway hypnosis. Consciously, you were deeply engrossed in the thought about the dinner or the trip on the weekend. Subconsciously,
right.
you drove the car. And you got there safely. You made all the turns and stops. If somebody would have run through a light, you would have hit the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Another
example
would be when you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
maybe you did this, and if you did not do this, I didn't do this either, so, but somebody that never opened a book when they got home from school, but they always got above 90 on a test.
Right. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of those people.
Yeah, me neither, but that was a person who in the classroom was so focused on the lesson
mm-hmm.
being presented by the teacher or the instructor, they block out all the distraction, and that all that information goes into their subconscious mind where your long-term memory is. They got home and they said, well, I know this stuff. Why waste time studying? I already know it. And they never had to study when they got home. It's a natural state. And we do this so many times, we're just not aware of it. A lot of men are guilty of this when they're watching one of the sporting events on television, you know, the football games or on the baseball game, and the wife
right.
is calling them to come in, you know, the food is on the table, and, yeah, I'm coming. And finally a commercial break comes on, and they'll look up, did you just call me? They were so focused on the game, they block everything else out.
See, now that's something I'm sure everybody can relate to with those stories, one way or the other. I wish it would have been the one with school for me, but apparently it wasn't. But I see what you mean, because that's absolutely true, especially when you get really, really focused on something that you have an interest in. I think that's probably why it's a little difficult for people in school or classroom or just as a hobby to learn something that they're really not interested in, because they can't get the focus for that.
Exactly.
Don't you think?
Exactly. I totally agree. If you're really into it, you'll make the time to do it. You have fun doing it. And that's what makes something work really well. When you have to do something you don't like to do, and unfortunately there are a lot of people in a lot of jobs
right.
that they wake up in the morning and it's, oh, I've got to go to work today, you know. Almost like
right.
that commercial years ago about, oh, I've got to get up and make the donuts.
Oh, yes. I remember that one.
Yeah, if you don't like what you're doing, it's drudgery. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. But when you really love your job, you can't wait to get up in the morning and get back to work again. I mean, I've had on a couple of occasions, I had a hospital call me one night at about 11 o'clock. The nursing mm-hmm. supervisor called me and wanted to know if I, and the hospital was about 8 miles from my house, and wanted to know if I could come up there at that moment and work with a patient who was scheduled for surgery early the next morning. And her blood mm-hmm. pressure was extremely high, and they gave her the maximum dose of medication. They can't give her any more, and pressure really wasn't coming down. And they wanted to know if I could work with her to bring her pressure down. So, and I knew the patient. I had worked with her in the past for a couple of different things. So I went up, and I worked with her, and in about 20, 25 minutes, we had her pressure down about 30 points.
Oh, that's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's just amazing. That's amazing.
It's
but
the
I think
power
a lot
of your own mind.
Yeah,
it's the power of your own mind. I don't make you do it.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm saying because you care about people, I think they're also more open to what you do because they can trust you because they can feel you're looking out for their best interest.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And there's been cases where I've actually turned people down because they really didn't need hypnosis. They really needed some sort of psychological or psychiatric intervention, in which case, you know, I would
right.
refer them to the correct person because if I can't help them, why waste their money and my time if it's not going to help?
Oh, that's exactly it. And I think a lot of it with us, well, people like us and like Hercules, with a lot of us, we really come from spiritual ethics, which doesn't always match man-made law and man-made ethics, but we really tend to look out for people. And I think that makes a tremendous difference because I know I've had that in my field. You know, if I'm doing a reading as an example, and I know that the person isn't going to listen, they don't want to know about anything, I'm wasting their time and money and mine, you know, and it's a lot of energy. So
exactly.
I do the same thing. I'll refer them to the right person, the right situation. And, you know, sometimes it's just that no matter what you tell them, you know ahead of time they will not listen. So ethically, you can't get paid for something like that because you already know it's not going to work. So I think it gives you a lot of credibility also that you look at it from that point of view because a lot of people in any field don't do that. You know, some do. And thank God that we have some of those people like you. But unfortunately, you know, there aren't enough. So it really makes a big difference. Now, I was just wondering for people that are new to this also, does a person have to believe in hypnosis for it to work? You know how some people think, well, maybe you have to believe in it. I don't know if I do. So what do you think?
Well, there's
does
really nothing
have to believe in
because it's a natural state. And we go, like I said before, we go in and out of that state several times every day. We're just not aware of it. Now, when you come to somebody's office, somebody would come into my office, they're here for a specific reason. They're here for a purpose. And what's funny, when they come in, I let them know immediately that I can't make you do anything you don't want to do, okay? I had a couple come in one night. The wife wanted to stop smoking. And her and her husband sat in here. We went through the whole intake interview, got all the information. And when it was time to do the hypnosis, he left and went out to the other room. And she leaned forward. The minute the door closed, she leaned forward in the chair, and she looked at me and said, "Listen, he quit cold turkey a year ago. I want you to make me stop so he'll get off my back. Every day he's you have to stop, you have to stop." And she said, "I really like the smoke. I love it. I know it's bad, but I really enjoy it." And I simply looked at her and said, "Do me a favor. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your money. If you really don't want to stop, I can't make you stop. And you know, it'll be a day, a week, a month later, you'll start smoking, and you'll say to your husband, 'Look, see? He couldn't make me stop.'" And it's just the way it is. It's nothing to believe in. It's
so
a natural state, but it's a two-sided coin. On the one side of the coin, I can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. On the other side of that coin, hypnosis can be a very powerful tool. I've used it for many reasons. I mean, with myself included, I've gone to the dentist for a simple checkup and cleaning, and they found a crack in a old filling in a rear molar. They had to drill out, put a new filling in, and I said to the dentist, do me a favor, let me hypnotize myself. I don't need the lidocaine. So we did the whole process without the chemical, and it worked. In fact, I had that picture on my office wall. And I've got another one where when I had my colonoscopy done, they want to give you the anesthesia. You have to have somebody to drive you home. And my wife's a teacher. Yeah. She doesn't want to take off from work. She loves her kids. She loves her job. So I just told the gastroenterologist, listen, I'm a professional consulting hypnotist. Let me use hypnosis for the anesthesia. And he said, you know, I've never done that before, but why not? I mean, I'm game. So we did it, and I simply said to him, look, I'm going to hypnotize myself. It's going to take me about a minute or two at the most to get where I need to be. When you're finished and you're done doing what you need to do, just tap me twice on the shoulder, and I'll blink my eyes and come back. So I hypnotized myself. Mm-hmm. I actually went to the beach, was having a lovely time on the beach while he was doing what he needed to do for about 25 minutes for the procedure. Mm-hmm. And then he tapped me twice on the shoulder. I blinked my eyes. And he looked at me and said, you know, this was really incredible. He said, when we first started, when you hypnotize yourself, your vital signs were all, they were totally normal. When you hypnotize yourself, your vital signs all dropped. And they stayed there the whole time you were in hypnosis. And when I tapped you on the shoulder and you came back, they came back up to normal again.
I love when scientifically they can prove something you've been doing for years.
Well, yeah, and hypnosis is 200 years old or more.
Oh, very.
I mean, it goes way back. There was James Braid was doing, he was a surgeon in India. He was a British surgeon, if I remember correctly, British or Scottish. And he was in India and doing major limb amputations, you know, using hypnosis for the anesthesia, because back then in the early 1800s, they didn't have any chemical anesthesia yet.
You know, people don't realize, I think, how old hypnosis actually is. I mean, they've heard of people, you know, like Svengali and all those old stories, but they really don't realize how helpful it can be in everyday life if they've never heard about it. Most people think of, you know, fun and games, and they don't realize it can be so helpful for somebody that has surgery or, you know, different situations. I remember you were telling me a while ago about a situation with this lady with the cervical situation. Do you want to tell that one? I thought that was very interesting.
That was a teacher who I had worked with her with hypnosis a few years before that for something else, and I had, at the time, I taught her how to do self-hypnosis. Fast forward about maybe 5 years, and she called me around April, and at the time, she was 7 months pregnant. And she went to the OB for her checkup, and during the checkup, they told her that her cervix was dilated 2 centimeters. And she had to be on bed rest. She could not go back to work. Now, this is another person who really loves her job, and she teaches kids who have special needs. And she said, I can't give these kids to a sub for the last 2 months and finals. I can't do that. I have to be there. He said, well, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. You have to be on bed rest. You're dilated 2 centimeters. So she said to the doctor, listen, I've had hypnosis before, and it's been very relaxing and beneficial. Can I use hypnosis? So he gave her permission, but he put a time limit on it. He said, you've got 2 days. Be back here. This was on a Tuesday when this happened. And he said, be back here Thursday, and if there's no change in your condition, then you're on bed rest, and there's no questions. It's over. So she called me right away, and I said, listen, come in tonight. We can do this. So I had her come into the office, and I worked with her. I hypnotized her. I gave her suggestions. I taught her what to do since she already knew self-hypnosis. And I said, listen, do this 4 times every day. You're going to be off anyway for the next 2 days. So do this 4 times each day, and let me know what happens. So she went back to the doctor on Thursday, and she called me on the way home. It was interesting because I actually had somebody else in the chair at the time, so my machine picked up. She left me the message thanking me so much that her cervix completely shut. The doctor was shocked, so was his staff, and she was just so happy. The doctor said, listen, just keep doing whatever you're doing because you're good to go. And she was able to continue working for the next 2 months and delivered a very healthy baby on schedule.
Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah, it's amazing what it actually does, you know, what hypnosis does. And it helps so many people in so many ways. And once you teach somebody the way you did, you know, that they can continue to do things on their own a little bit, or at least, you know, in a situation like that, they know that, it can, you know, they can make changes so that their life improves. Because the whole thing is always to do better and to improve your life. And I find what you do, you're helping people improve their own lives in different ways. And that's a tremendous, tremendous ability. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. You remember Bob Luthi? He's the one I learned under?
Correct. Dr. Luthi, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I remember the first time when I went there to learn hypnosis, he asked for a volunteer in the class. He asked for a volunteer that is willing to be put under so that he can demonstrate what it feels like when you're under. You know, I'm the only one that raised my hand, and I kept thinking, don't they want to know what it feels like for the other person? And he went through this whole big thing, and he was telling me that there's a clock on the wall, and he's describing it. And when I tell you, I saw that clock in so much detail, I remember it to this day. And then when he brought me out of it, no clock, just the wall. So I was wondering if you could explain a little bit to people what happens to a person when they become hypnotized, because that was just such a fun thing, but it really gives you a different perspective on it when you've actually been under, so you have a better way to understand it to help people. But I think sometimes people get a little worried about what becomes of them. So what happens when they get hypnotized, do you feel?
Well, you know, it's funny because that's what happens sometimes in group situations. I've never done group. Well, that's not totally true. I've done group for stress issues because it's a whole different process. It's a whole different thing. But I've avoided, you know, doing other types of groups because in certain situations, people are more curious about what's happening to the other person next to them when they should be paying attention to themselves and getting into the hypnosis on their own. And you'll see people open their eyes, they'll look to the right, they'll look to the left, and they're curious about what's happening. When you're in a state of hypnosis, there's no real feel. You're not asleep, okay? I know hypnosis is the Greek word for sleep, and that's, I think it was James Braid coined that phrase back in the early 1800s. Because when they hypnotized somebody, you know, the eyes were closed, the head went down, the body leaned a little bit, and it looked like they fell asleep. But in hypnosis, you're more alert than you are now. You're very relaxed. You're super relaxed. It's an extremely relaxing feeling. I've had sort of like big, burly truck driver kind of guys, you know, 6'4", 4 feet across in the shoulders, 250 pounds. And when they've come out of hypnosis, the tears would start coming out of their eyes, and they would say, wow, you know, I haven't felt this relaxed in 20 years. They just let go, and when you let go, you have more control. And in that state, it's a peaceful, relaxing state. You're calm. You're comfortable. You feel safe. And then we use imagery with the hypnosis to induce almost like a dream state. We let people go to a special place where they can really feel relaxed and comfortable. And it's amazing because the way I use hypnosis, I allow people to pick their own place. They don't know where they're going until they get there. But I've had some really incredible, you know, clients have experiences that were absolutely amazing. One person, this one gentleman who was probably about early to mid-60s, if I remember correctly, we're going back a ways. But when we finished hypnosis, he said, oh, my God. He goes, when I stepped through that door, he said, I went back to the cabin. My wife and I went on our honeymoon. That was 45 years ago. He goes, it was like I was there yesterday. He said, it was so, like you described the clock, it was so colorful and real, and the grass and the trees and the cabin, and it was beautiful. And in that wonderful place, you have amazing control that you just normally don't have access to, because you're actually accessing your autonomic nervous system, and you can do some really incredible things just on pure suggestion.
Oh, that's amazing, though, when you think about it.
Oh,
you know, it really is. Yeah, and it's funny because you don't realize, you know, people don't realize what it's actually like, you know, and that's such a big difference, you know. It really is. It's such a big difference in helping people and, you know, for people to help themselves sometimes. Once, like I said, once you teach them the self-hypnosis, you know, and they get the hang of it. Sometimes I find with clients that they come up with suggestions for themselves that I wouldn't have thought of, because everybody has a different situation, you know, at a different time.
That's a very interesting technique that I use, actually.
Yeah.
When we do the intake interview, it works like this. It's really easy. And I've always laughed about it, saying that, you know, being a professional hypnotist is one of the easiest jobs in the world, because basically what I do is I sit down and I let people give me detailed information about why they're here, what they're looking to change, what they're looking to do, and then I hypnotize them and I just feed it right back to them, to their subconscious mind where all the power is, and there it is. And
that's
really what it is. It's really easy. It's see, almost anybody can hypnotize almost anybody. The issue is, what do you do when you get them there so that it works correctly?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important situation, because I find sometimes when people try self-hypnosis, and like I said, I was talking more about the people that have been with you for a really long time, so they can put some things together in an emergency kind of situation to help them, like that young gentleman that you were talking about with the accident. And I think people don't realize you really do have to be careful when you do hypnosis that you word things correctly. You know, so as an example, I remember you and I talked about this years ago. I don't know if you remember, but we were talking about how some people think that they're going to try self-hypnosis as an example. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, being safe because there's a dog around them and dogs are supposed to represent loyalty. If it doesn't represent loyalty to them, that's not the effect they're going to have. You know?
Right.
So when people are just taking in general, well, this is what everybody says this symbol as an example means, and then they try to use it on themselves, they're not looking at how does that relate to them. It might make them uncomfortable, and they won't even connect why they're uncomfortable. So it might not have – it's not going to hurt them, but it's not going to have a really good outcome. So I find when you're interviewing people in the beginning, like you said, you know, you're really listening – to what they really want, what they don't want. And a lot of times, too, it's a tone of voice. Because I find, I was talking to somebody a while ago, and they wanted to quit smoking. And the reason that he wanted to quit smoking was because his wife told him he had to quit. So a little bit like yours, if he didn't want to quit, nothing's going to make him quit.
It's very funny what motivates people. Years ago, when they first sectioned off the restaurants, the dining areas, where they made smoking sections, the smokers had to sit in the smoking section. They could not sit in the other part of the restaurant if they were going to smoke. And again, we're going back several years ago. But I had one woman come in to see me, and her sole reason, you know what, I don't care what the reason is, as long as it's their reason. And her reason
exactly.
to stop smoking was, she said, my husband and I eat out 4 to 5 nights every week, and we have our usual table in the center of the restaurant. And now, with the smoking sections, I can't sit with my friends. They sit me over by the kitchen, and I don't like it. I want to be able to sit with my friends, so that's why I want to stop smoking. It was her reason, and that's all I needed, and that worked for her.
Oh, see?
Doesn't matter, as long as
and
it's their
that's
reason.
It's really important because you're listening. Yeah, you're really
yeah.
listening to why.
I taught in the hospital for 22 years at doctors who would refer people to come see me. And you know, a guy would call me on the phone and say, you know, Dr. Smith told me that I needed to stop smoking. I've had a double bypass. I've had 8 stents put in. And he said, I really need to stop smoking because, you know, smoking, the nicotine is a vasoconstrictor. And I should really do this. I said, well, do you want to stop? He goes, no, I really like it. But he told me that I had to. I said, but do you want to? He said, I really enjoy smoking. I know it's not healthy. I know it's not good for me. But my doctor's telling me that I have. I said, listen, if you're not ready, there's nothing I can do for you. Even under the threat of death, if you're not ready, I can't make you do it.
So did she end up deciding that she really wanted to, or did she end up with, no, she really doesn't want to?
No, he never came in. The guy never came in. Again, he wasn't ready. He wasn't
yeah.
ready to stop.
Well, that's what it is, you know. The thing is that you really want to be able to help people, but you also have to know when you can't help them. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it really makes a big difference. Actually, I had a lady a while ago that had a question about this years ago, and I thought people might be interested what your concept of it is, but she was wondering if a person became stuck in this hypnotic state, can that happen?
Not really. Hypnosis, again, it's a natural state. And when somebody's hypnotizing you, they're taking
mm-hmm.
safeguards. They're watching. They know where you're at. They know what you're doing. There's never, I've been doing it for 38 years, never had an issue with anybody. Now, if you're doing self-hypnosis, it's not that you get stuck in it. The worst thing that you could have happen if you're doing hypnosis by yourself, you're home alone, and you're relaxed comfortably, and you do your thing, and you go deep in hypnosis, the worst that can happen to you, you won't get stuck in it, but you could fall asleep. And then if you're asleep, you're not in hypnosis now. And you'd wake up in 20 or 30 minutes and say, oh, wow, look at this. In fact, I actually had a woman ask me once. She came in to stop smoking, and, you know, people play 20 questions, and she said, well, what happens if you have me deep in hypnosis and you have a heart attack and die? What will happen to me? I said, well, in about 15 or 20 minutes, you're going to open your eyes and say, oh, what's he doing on the floor, you know? You can't get stuck in it. It's a natural state.
I just love that.
You know, it is what it is, you know?
I find, you know, it's funny, things that you and I don't think about because we're in the field, but it's funny when you think about the questions people have about it, that, you know, we just assume that they would know, you know, like being stuck in that. But, you know, when you think from somebody's point of view that hasn't dealt with it in the past, it actually makes a little bit of sense. That's
oh, yes,
like, I know
yeah.
one of the questions people keep asking is if a weak-minded person is easier to hypnotize than a strong-willed person. So what do you think?
Actually, they're more difficult. The more intelligent a person is, the better subject they are to enter a state of hypnosis. People that are extremely weak-minded, many of them don't have an attention span, and they can't follow along.
Yeah.
Under referral of once a psychiatrist and a couple of times from psychologists, I worked with some people who had some mental issues, and Mm-hmm. If you can't follow along, if you don't have a good attention span, then hypnosis is probably not the best tool to use. There's many other ways that people can approach those kind of issues, but hypnosis would not be one of the best ones because they can't follow along. And it's funny, too, you know, we were talking about with the clients when they come in and their questions. I had another person come in once, and I give everybody a pre-talk. I explain. I'm really thorough. I want to make sure there are no unanswered questions so that they're comfortable and there's no thoughts or fears going on. And because, you know, television has ruined hypnosis to a degree. You see all this crazy stuff on TV that they hypnotize people to go rob the bank and all this stuff. And I just simply look at people when they say that. I say, okay, let me explain it this way. When Superman is finished filming the movie, he gets in his car and he drives home. He doesn't fly home. It's all the movie. It's creative license, and they really ruin it with hypnosis. They get crazy with it. But this woman, we did the hypnosis, and we finished, and she said to me, I don't know if I was really hypnotized. So I said, well, why do you feel that way? And she said, well, I heard everything you said. So I smiled and I simply said to her, well, if I'm giving you suggestions, you have to hear them for them to work.
You know, it's funny because you're right. People have a misconception that when they're being hypnotized, they don't hear anything, they don't see anything. And it's really not like that. And we want them to hear things because they need to be conscious, you know, and subconscious levels. Yes, you have to affect them both to be able to put them under to help them. You know, and I always laugh because some gentleman asked me once, well, you know, what happens if, you know, he's under and he doesn't hear anything and is it safe and all that, right, which you spoke about. Yeah. But I was telling him, I said, you know, we never say anything that's contradictory to what they're comfortable with. Like if somebody wants to, as an example, have a better memory when they lecture, that's all we're helping them with. We're not trying to find out information we don't need to know about them. You know, we're not telling them to do things that don't fit. All we're working on is what they asked us to work on. So we don't have an issue with them remembering everything we said, you know? And I don't think people realize that sometimes. They think they're going to be like in a little blank space. And it doesn't work like that, as you said.
No, it's, yeah. Again, it's a natural state. It's pure relaxation, very focused, but very relaxed, calm, and comfortable.
Because I remember I was asking you once, we were talking about different clients, and I was asking you what you say to people when they ask, can anyone become hypnotized? And I remember you were talking about people where, you know, when they're very intelligent, makes it a little bit easier. But in general, do you feel anybody can become hypnotized? It's just from a different aspect, maybe?
Just about, you know, most people can be. You need to have the attention span. So usually a young child under the age of 6 or a person who has dementia or, you know, like an Alzheimer's type of something going on, they are not good subjects at all because they can't follow along and, you know, really get into that space where you need them to be so that you can, you know, communicate with the subconscious mind. They just can't follow along. But
so, you know,
other people
when you think about it, do you remember what the youngest person is that you've hypnotized, the youngest age?
Yeah, the youngest person that I've ever worked with was approximately 6.5 years old, and he came in. He was going on a 4-day trip to his cousin's house, and there was going to be a bunch of family members there, young kids, and up by a lake or something. You know, it was a summer place, and he had a problem with bedwetting, and he didn't want to go because he was afraid he would wet the bed. And so they actually came in through a referral from the pediatrician, said that hypnosis might be able to work well with him. So the pediatrician sent him in, or with his referral, and I worked with him, and it worked out really well. And he was able to go on this vacation, and he didn't go on a vacation for almost a month after I worked with him. But for the whole month, from the time I worked with him until the vacation, he had no instances, and that gave him a lot of confidence, and he was very happy.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, people wouldn't think about that age. Now, what would be the oldest age? Do you remember that you've worked with somebody?
Oh, yeah. The oldest age that I have ever worked with a client was a woman who came in to see me. She was 92.
Nice.
She lived in Florida for the past 30 years. And her spouse had died. Her husband passed.
Oh.
And the children lived up here, and the grandkids were up here, and I think a couple of great-grandkids as well. And they were all back up here in New York. And she didn't want to be down there by herself because, one of the things, tongue-in-cheek here, but that seniors, and I've had seniors say this to me, one of the great things about being that age, over 90, is, very little peer pressure. And most of her friends had passed. So she wanted to move back up north to be with her family because, you don't know when your last day is going to be, and she wanted to be close to the family, so she came back. But the winters were not kind to her, and she had arthritis in her knees that would get very painful, and she had some issues with certain medications. So I taught her how to do self-hypnosis, and, got the doctor's okay to do that, and taught her to do self-hypnosis and some pain management techniques. And it worked very well for her. She was very happy that she could now, live more comfortably, in this inclement weather that we suffer up north in the wintertime.
Oh, that's fantastic, though, because that would make it so much easier for her. And this way she feel like she's around other people. And it makes a big difference overall in her life, just from that one little thing. Well, it's a big thing to her.
Yeah.
It's normal for you. I love that you have such positive influence on people's lives. And, you don't really look at it like that because I know you. So I know with you, you're just helping people, and that's how you look at it. You never really look at how much of an influence you truly are. You're just looking at how you can help people in different situations so you remember the situation. But you don't really give yourself enough credit, which, by the way, is okay because I tell everybody how great you are.
Thank you very much.
This is your expertise. No, really, this is your expertise. And I'm really just blessed that you're on the show. And honestly, one of the things that I've always liked with you also is that you really don't have ego. And I find people that are truly doing whatever their calling is, and when they have talents and abilities, because what you do is a talent and an ability. I've never met anybody with that talent and ability that had ego, because to you, it's normal. You're just working on it and you're trying to do better all the time. And that's not impressive to you. It is impressive to other people. So I just wanted to let you know you're appreciated.
Well, thank you. Well, I look at it this way. One of my philosophies is, the only person that I ever have to be better than is the person I was yesterday.
I love that. I really like that one. Now,
I'll tell you a good trait. A good trait of a hypnotist, you need to be a good listener.
Yes.
Because there are two ways
to
listen. And many people, they listen simply to respond. You say something and they give you the quick response, move on to the next thing. A good listener listens to understand.
Yeah.
You want to know why they feel this way, why they think the way they think, or why they do what they do. You ask questions, and that's all part of that intake interview, so that you can find out the best thing that you can do for that particular person to get them where they want to be or better.
Oh, and that's such a big difference, too. Yeah. But, you know, you've always been like that, so that's what makes you really good in your field. So now, can you make a hypnotized person do something that they don't want to do? I remember you touching on that a little bit earlier when we were talking. But when you think about that, and when you think about, you know, hypnosis, people worry that, say that they're at a comedy club and the hypnotist makes these people do silly or funny things, right? So how does that happen? Or why does that happen?
Well, here's the way that works. Have you yourself ever gone to a comedy club?
Of course.
Why did you go?
Because I wanted to have some fun, and it lightens up your mood, and it's funny.
Yeah, there you go. You wanted to laugh. You wanted to have a good time. Now, if you went to a comedy club, and there was a hypnotist there doing a show, and he was calling, or she was calling for volunteers to come up on the stage, would you raise your hand?
Me, no.
Okay, and you know what? He would not pick you either.
Right.
Even if he just stuck your hand up casually, he would probably not take you. They're looking for the person who is flailing their hand in the air, take me, take me, take me, and their hand is waving back and forth because this person is already giving permission. They know that when they get up there, they're going to have them do silly things or ask them to, you know, pick imaginary flowers, make out with a mop, you know, whatever. And it's part of the show, and they want to be the center of attention.
Right.
And when a stage hypnotist does that, if he wants or she wants five people on the stage, they'll actually pull 10 up initially. They'll get 10 people up on the stage, and they'll do a very quick suggestibility test to see who is more suggestible and who is not.
Mm-hmm.
And they will take the five best, and they'll tell the other five, listen, we think you'll enjoy the show better from your seat. Give them a big hand for coming up, you know, and they'll get them off the stage. He has five extremely willing people up there that will probably do anything he says, even if they were not hypnotized, and because it's all a fun show. It's a thing. And that's why that works. The person that, you know, turns their head, they would a professional hypnotist would never bring them up on the stage because it would not work well.
Right. Right, because they're not open to that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, and you really, when people think about it that are listening to this show, when people think about it, anytime they've been somewhere with a hypnotist, they will remember that they always, always ask for volunteers. They never just pick people, like you said. They always ask. Yeah. So when we were talking about, because you had some really great stories. So when we were talking about how people use hypnosis for smoking or for weight loss and some of the other things that hypnosis is used for, do you have any other suggestions that they're used for? I know that people are very into dropping weight. And, you know, besides because we were speaking about smoking. So I know that with that, too, just like with smoking, you would assume that it's something they'd want to do, not because somebody in their family told them to. You know?
Well, hopefully.
But what
are
you using? Go ahead.
Oh, well, again, it's when somebody else is telling you that you need to do this, sometimes there's even a resentment there that, well, why do they feel I should have to do this? You know, why don't they love me the way I am or, you know, something like that. That's why it's very important for the person to want it on their own.
Oh, definitely. And what do you feel are some of the other uses of the hypnosis to help clients?
Well, there's the list is on. There's books and books and books written about it. But some of the things that I've done before, I've done work with pain management, teaching people how to do self-hypnosis so that when they have any discomfort, they can do it to themselves. And one note I have to make here, any medical work that I've ever done must be on written physician referral. I'm not a physician. I'm not a doctor. I do not diagnose. I do not treat. But when a doctor gives me written permission to work with a specific area, I had a client in here recently who had some neck surgery. They had 4 vertebrae removed from their neck, and they had to be replaced with titanium pieces. And I did the post-surgical pain management, and it worked really well. The patient was very happy and very pleased that they were able to take this control rather than to rely on, you know, medication. And sometimes the medications, they're not good for your stomach, they're not good for your mind, depending on what you're taking. And he did extremely well with that. I mean, that's, you know, pain management. I've done childbirth. One of the interesting things about childbirth and hypnosis is not only can you control any pain, but you can also have control over the contractions. You can speed them up, you can slow them down. And what a lot of the women have done is when they, you know, first start feeling the contractions and they're on their way to the hospital, they will slow the contractions down, and then once they get there to the labor room, then they'll speed them up because they don't want to sit in the labor room all day.
Right. It comes in handy for so many things with the hypnosis.
Oh, yeah. And one of the other things that's I've done for many, many people, memory and recall. Meaning people that want to study to take a test. And I've worked with lawyers to pass the bar exam, doctors to pass medical boards. A chief of a fire department worked with me to study for the chief exam and pass the exam. People taking promotion tests. And it's really teaching you how to use your mind efficiently using self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. It's a new way to study that you can work with your own mind and the comfort of wherever you're studying, your home, your office, wherever you pick to do this. But you set aside a block of time, and you go through this entire process that I teach them. In fact, I actually had a lawyer who flew me to Washington, D.C., several years ago. He failed the bar exam 3 times, passed it the 4th time, but no help from me. That was before hypnosis. I got down there. He said, listen, I really stink taking tests. I'm a terrible test taker. And he had gone back to the university to get an accounting degree because he wanted to be a tax attorney. So he took the CPA course. And the exams were coming up in a few months, and he said, listen, I want to be able to pass these exams and get on with my life. And so I taught him how to do self-hypnosis. I taught him how to do the program, and he was able to pass his exams and move on.
See, that's such a tremendous help. I always laugh because I listen to people, and they're always thinking about hypnosis as stage hypnotist or, like I said, smoking, the basic things that, of course, it does work for, but it helps in so many other areas. That's why I was asking you, so that people get an idea of how open and varied it is for how many areas you can help them in. It's not just, you know, everything that you hear about. So I would suggest to people that if they would like to get in touch with you, that if they're interested in changing anything, improving anything, working on anything in particular, they can always give you a call and just find out if it's something that you recommend hypnosis for, because you're very upfront about when they should or shouldn't use it. And sometimes people don't realize they really want to try something new or control something or study, like you said, and it just doesn't occur to them to connect it to hypnosis or self-hypnosis.
Well, you know,
so
it's interesting.
It's very positive that, you know, when they talk to you, you're very honest about this will help you and this won't. Okay.
Oh, exactly. It's interesting how people will sometimes take it the extra mile themselves. I had a young fellow in here about 16 years old, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, And he came into the study in Recall. He was a very nervous test taker. He was very nervous when he would have to take a test. And his mother would study with him. And, you know, at home he was fine. He could answer the questions and everything was great. But when he got in school and got to the test, he just froze and everything just, that was it. You know, and stress does that to you. You know, when you're under stress, you lose your ability to rapidly process information in your mind. And I can prove that to you. Have you ever had an argument with someone?
Of course.
Okay. And maybe 4 or 5 hours later, you're thinking about it, and you start to say, wow, I should have said this. I should have said that. Where's all the good stuff coming now? Where was it when you needed it 5 hours ago? The stress of the moment prevented you from thinking about it. You don't process quickly when you're under stress. So that's part of it. Well, he came in and I taught him how to do the program, and I gave him the stress work that we did. And I think that was maybe around February or March when he came in. Well, his mother did call me at the end of June, and she was very happy. Mm-hmm. She said he had 2 back-to-back Regents exams. He aced them both. She was so pleased. He was pleased. He was very happy because now he's more comfortable when he's in school and studying. But that's not the best part. Now, this is somebody who knew how to do self-hypnosis, but he took it that extra mile. I had gone away on vacation in the middle of July, and when I came back, there was a message on my phone from the boy, and he simply left a message, "Hi, Mr. Cullum, it's me. I just wanted to thank you for saving my life. I just got out of the hospital. Please give me a call when you get my message," and totally confused me because I had no clue what he was talking about. He was here for a study of Recall, and we did the self-hypnosis and everything, but so anyway, I called him. And when he got on the phone, he said, thank you so much.
I'm going to interrupt at this point, but we have around 3 minutes till the program closes. So this will be a to be continued, and we'll have you back on. You're a very fascinating guest, Jim.
Okay.
Just give me your contact information quickly.
Okay. You can reach me at area code 516-483-2191.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and people should get in touch with you because I really feel that you can help so many people in so many ways. So thank you again so much for being on the show, Jim, and hopefully you'll be back again sometime.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Take care, and have a wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Maria, for hosting such a wonderful show. How can people get in contact with you? We seem to have lost Maria. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Hercules Invictus of Mount Olympus Radio. And for more programming, tune in every single day. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And thanks again, Jim. You were awesome. I learned a lot about hypnosis.
Oh, thank you. Anytime.
Say good night.
Okay, good night.